We are very excited here at KPLU to present Tom Wopat live in our studios, and not because I love watching him on the Dukes of Hazzard in my youth. He's got an amazing voice that's earned him Tony nominations with Broadway credits including The Music Man, Sondheim on Sondheim, and the musical Catch Me If You Can, which debuted at Seattle's Fifth Avenue Theater a few years ago. He's just released his ninth album, a terrific collection of jazz standards and originals and even some modern pop called I've Got Your Number. He's here to perform solo this afternoon. Please welcome Tom Wopat.
When the paint jar tipped off of the table, you watched as it started to fall. Glass popped, shattered, and splattered. Paint spray hit the wall. Bright blue glossy enamel all across that kitchen floor. You said, good God, look at that pattern. I've never seen that before. Leave it like it is. Never mind the turpentine, just leave it like it is. It's fine. Paint dried, you gave it a title. You called it Kitchen Blues. A nice, neat border around it with gallery lighting, too. Rich folks come over for dinner, you know, they all want one of their own. They say, how much? Who's the artist? And my, what a beautiful home. Leave it like it is. Never mind the turpentine, just leave it like it is, 'cause it's fine. Well, most folks, they suffer in silence. They're thinking they're just no good. They don't fit the magazine model as close as they think they ought to should. They live like paint by numbers, you know their teachers would be impressed. A lifetime of follow the lines, so they're just like all of the rest. I say, leave it like it is. Never mind the turpentine, just leave it like it is. It's fine.
Thank you.
How about that? Tom Wopat live in our studios. He's got a fantastic new record out called I've Got Your Number. Tom, your voice is something to behold. I've been listening a lot to the new record, and everybody I introduce to your music is like, whoa, the cat can really sing. And you were raised in a musical family. You've got a lot of singers in your family, right?
Actually, my sister teaches voice here in town, my sister Ann. And my younger brother was, what do they call it, the NACA. It's like entertainers, college entertainers. He was the entertainer of the year a couple times, my brother Dave. He did a kind of a one-man band thing across the country. But, you know, we were blessed. We were always encouraged. I have six brothers and a sister, and we come from a dairy farm in Wisconsin. But we were encouraged to, you know, participate, and my dad could sing some. But, I mean, we all did okay. It was fun.
Was there a point when you thought to yourself, okay, show business is going to be it for me. This is really where I want to put my focus.
You know, I started thinking seriously about it after I had knee surgery because I was going to be a Packer. I was going to be a football player growing up in Wisconsin. But I played a little bit of freshman ball at the University of Wisconsin and then got that whacked on. And I had been doing musicals for about 6 or 7 years before I went to college. And musicals were... You know, it was something that really came naturally to me. And when I was there and going to the University of Wisconsin, I got to play Tony in West Side Story. And I had played Joe Hardy in Damn Yankees when I was in high school. And all those things, you know, they appealed a lot to me. Then I had a mentor at the University of Wisconsin named Gilbert Hemsley, who was a lighting designer. And he said, well, you know, if you really want to, you could probably do this. You could probably make a living at this. So the first thing he did was take me with him when he lit an opera in Houston. And I sang for David Gockley, who is the general manager of the Houston Grand Opera. I think now he is in San Francisco. He runs that opera there. And he said, well, you have a nice little voice. And that little rasp you have there from singing rock and roll probably doesn't help you. And he said, you could probably do second or third leads in, you know, Kansas or something. And I got nothing against Kansas, but I thought that Broadway might be a more attractive avenue. So that's how I ended up going to New York.
Now, you've been recording music for years and years, and a lot of your early stuff was more rock and roll and country stuff. Was there a point when you started getting into the more Great American Songbook material?
There was a very particular point. I left Nashville in 98 to drive up to New York and work with Bernadette Peters on Annie Get Your Gun. And while we were making the cast album of that show, the people at Angel Records asked me if I wanted to do a jazz record, you know, kind of a Sinatra record. I said, I wish. So anyway, we did. The first one was called The Still of the Night, and it's produced by Russ Titelman. It's a really beautiful record. I think since then, the last two that I've done, and then this most recent, I did a collaboration with Schneider. We did a Christmas record together. They've all been produced by Dave Fink, who's my first string bass player, and he'll be here tonight. But we started leaning more towards what I do in the live show, which is a little more of it's not so confidential, it's not so inside, it's not so ballad heavy as the first record was. This stuff swings harder. And the second to last record was called Consider It Swung, and then, of course, I've Got Your Number, and we're really proud of them, and I think they really reflect what we do live.
Some fantastic charts from big bands to smaller intimate settings. We'll talk more about the record in a bit, but I want to hear another song from Tom Wopat. His new record's called I've Got Your Number. What would you like to play?
Unfortunately, I can't really swing on the guitar very well. I'm more of a balladeer on the guitar. This particular song is from a show that I just did in what's the name of the town? Well, it's up near Syracuse in New York and by the Finger Lakes. I did a show called The Will Rogers Follies.
Oh, right.
And at the top of the second act, he says, you know, all I know is what I read in the papers. Lately, I've been reading a new word, ecology. And as far as I can figure, what it does is it refers to our land. Now, the pioneers who came out here originally, they cut down every tree in sight, never did plant a one. And they plowed up the prairie that should have been left the way God had intended it to be. Now, they thought they were living off the land, but what they were really living off of was future generations. Because when it comes to land, they just ain't making any more of this stuff. Look around, the world's a lovely sight. Lovely sky and sea. Well, it used to be. Look around, the world is shining bright. Watch the green grass grow. Well, it once was so. Where's the spring that loved the rain? Where's the grove down Lover's Lane? Look around. Disappear from sight. Where's that lovely world I used to see? Who'll close the open skies, the view clear to the horizon? Look around, they vanish overnight. And when I recall what used to be, I'm weeping like a weeping willow tree. Just look around, you'll see a memory. Cy Coleman. Thank you.
Tom Wopat's live in our studios. Tom, tell us about the band you're playing with at Jazz Alley.
I just have to apologize to the sound man because I had turned my guitar off. I hope he's able to pick up some of that. Anyway, I've got it turned back on now, so we're back to... What did you just ask?
Your band at Jazz Alley. You got some fine players with you.
Yeah, well, I have David Fink that I mentioned is the bass player and an amazing guy. Eastman School of Music and really a real musician. He makes the instrument speak. And no matter what style of tune we're doing, he can lay it down. Then I have the musical director I've had for about 15 years now. His name is Ted Firth. His folks were both music teachers up in Hudson Falls, New York, and he went to William Patterson in Jersey. And he's really an up-and-coming arranger. His arrangements are really spectacular. He did the arrangement of Folks Who Live on the Hill.
On the new record?
On this most record. Yeah, and it's gorgeous. He did the Hornsby tune at the end.
Uh-huh.
There's a Bruce Hornsby tune from a musical he wrote called... Here We Are Again. But we'll have, Ted will be playing piano, and David will be playing bass, and I've never heard Mark play. So it's like I was saying before we started the show, it's always a gas to hear new musicians, people that I've not heard before. Mm-hmm. And they sit down and they read the stuff right off. I mean, they know most of the songs that we're doing.
Yeah.
There'll be a few he won't know at all because they're originals.
Right. Good luck, Mark Taylor.
But the thing is that in a situation like that, it really makes you raise your game. When I was singing country music, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't the same type of thing. When the guys lock into this stuff or when they're really swinging, it's all of a sudden we're doing a song maybe just 10%, but maybe 25% differently than we've ever done it before. And it's exciting. I mean, it's a gas. And I'll surprise them sometimes with some of the stuff that I can do vocally that I didn't really know I could do. But it turns out that the more I do this, the more I perform it, the more spontaneous it becomes.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, we were talking earlier about how David Fink had helped you produce the album, and it's a terrific collection. I've got your number out on CD and deluxe 2 LP vinyl. I'm very excited
baby,
about that.
We got vinyl, the heavy duty stuff, 180 gram stuff.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, you're not only singing some great standards of the Great American Songbook, but there's also some Bruce Springsteen, as you mentioned, Bruce Hornsby, Paul Simon. How did you go about choosing what songs and some originals?
I mean, some of them are, my choice. The Simon, I had heard that record. It's a record that came out, I think, like 2010 or 11. And that song was on there, and I thought it would be a good big band song.
Mm-hmm.
And we changed the groove of it quite a bit. But it's a lot of fun. It's a cool tune. The Springsteen tune... I had known since it came out. It's off Born to Run, so it's been around for like 30 years.
Yeah.
It's an amazing song. We did the James Taylor tune, which is a classic, The Secret of Life. The Judy Collins tune I had been doing on guitar for years and years, and that's another Ted Firth arrangement that I think that's just really drop-dead gorgeous. So, I bring some of the stuff, some of my ideas. I had to kind of talk David into the Paul Simon one. We still haven't figured out how to do it live. But, and then he brings me stuff like, there's things like, especially David Frischberg.
Oh,
some of that stuff we've cut. We have one on that record. And then on the Christmas record, we do a Bob Dureau tune. I mean, Devil May Care is a Bob Dureau tune,
right,
too. But there's a Christmas song he wrote called Blue Xmas,
which is
a really cynical Christmas song. And so we have a little rap in front of it with me and John, and John says, "So what'd you get me for Christmas?" I say, "Coal." And he says, "Ow." And we go right into this really cynical Christmas song. So anyways, it's the songs, the choices are a work in progress, and I think they reflect the wide range of our interests.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next record's going to be a singer-songwriter record, where I'm going to pick songs that people don't know mostly, but then some things that I really love by my favorites.
Yeah.
you know, Dylan, James Taylor, Joni Mitchell.
Now, you've written some of your own songs that are also included on the album. I wonder if you're thinking about the songs, the cover songs, when you're writing for the album?
Or? No, I don't really write for the album. I write when it occurs to me, you know, when something really does. And unfortunately, it's not very often. The problem is, like, if I'm doing a musical, like doing Will Rogers, I can't write while I'm doing a musical because that, it's like that music part of my brain is just saturated.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like it that way. You know, Will Rogers, if you ever get a chance to see a production of it, it's really quite a job, especially if somebody who knows what he's doing in the part. And I do.
Yeah.
I told my wife afterwards, I said, I like him better than I like me. He was quite a guy. And the musical's really kind of cute and special. But as far as writing goes, it's just what occurs to me. And that's what I'm going to do with the third song, is one that I wrote that's on the Consider It Swung record.
All right, we'd love to hear it. Tom Wopat, live in our studios at KPLU.
Well, back in 2006, let me set it up. I spent like 6 weeks in Thailand. Why was I in Thailand, you might ask? Well, I was the only appropriate American actor, Sci-Fi Channel felt, to play the lead in the movie about the radioactive ants.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So I'm there playing the lead in the movie about the radioactive ants. And it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous country. Ever been?
Never have been.
They built an infrastructure for tourism about 30 years ago. And so I'm on the 12th floor of this beautiful hotel and overlooking the Thailand Sea. And you can see the longboats out there. And the longboats, if you're not familiar with them, they're about the length of this room, maybe a little more, about 30 feet long. And you'd think they'd have a little outboard on the back, but they've got like a 400 horsepower Chrysler mounted back, V8 mounted on the back end. And it has like just a lever, and it's got like a 20 foot long prop. And these kids are like 10, 12 years old, and they'll light up a cigarette and drop that prop in the water, and pew, they go across the ocean. It's gorgeous. The song isn't about any of that, but here it is. Longboat split the morning sun. She was running to or away from someone. Not a tear in her eye or a cloud in the sky. The deed was done. There on the shores of the Thailand Sea, the glare from the bay had rendered him blind. So dry as he may, no boat could he find. He had stolen his heart, now they were far apart. Love is unkind. Now he stands alone on the shores of the Thailand Sea. Who knows if it's true, this tale we've been told. But they say these two mountains are the lovers of old. At the edge of the night, in the fading sunlight, they turn to gold. Together they stand
on the shores of the Thailand Sea. Forever they stand on the shores of the Thailand Sea.